Well, the longest night of the year was just a few days ago. On Monday, December the 21st, the sun set at 5:33 p.m. And sunrise on Tuesday, December the 22nd, was not until 7:40 a.m. It was dark for 14 hours. But in the midst of that long, dark night, something amazing happened. The Christmas star, the meeting of the planets Jupiter and Saturn, appeared. How fitting that on the longest night, the promise of the light would appear. And now the longest night of the year has passed. Minute by minute, the sun sets a bit later. It rises a bit earlier. We have survived the longest night once again. Well, this year, the year 2020, has also felt like the longest year, hasn't it? As everything began happening in March and decisions seemed to be changing daily, March felt a lot longer than 31 days. And as we waited for lockdown to be lifted in April, the month seemed to go on and on. And I know those parents with young children especially felt the longness of those days. But now here we are, only a few days away from a brand new year. Much of this year has felt like that longest night. It has felt as if we have been walking in darkness, filled with the unknown, hoping for the light to come. Well, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, a scripture that we read on the first Sunday of Advent as we lit the candle of hope, it's a very fitting scripture for this year. It says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." It feels as if we have been living in the land of deep darkness, and we are ready for the light. Well, this year has been one in which, perhaps more than any other, we have been forced to wade out into the unknown. And the unknown is scary. The unknown is full of dark places and blind corners. It is full of, well, the unknown. We cannot plan for it, and we cannot predict it. It has been a bit like stumbling through a forest at night, trying to feel your way back to the light. And in Barbara Brown Taylor's book, Learning to Walk in the Dark, she says that when, despite our best efforts, the lights have gone out in our lives, literally or figuratively, take your pick, plunging us into the kind of darkness that turns our knees to water. Nonetheless, we have not died. Have you ever felt like that? When the worst happens and the lights go out, either literally or figuratively, and it plunges you into a place where you did not want to be. But then you take a breath and you realize that the worst has happened, and it has not killed you. Sometimes it takes the lights going out before we realize the depths of our strength and our courage. And she goes on to say that when this happens to her, she finds that the monsters have not dragged her out of bed and taken me back to their lair. Instead, I've learned things in the dark that I could have never learned in the light. Things that have saved my life over and over again, so that there is really only one logical conclusion. I need the darkness as much as I need the light. Listen to that again. We need the darkness as much as we need the light. But you may find yourself saying, I don't like the darkness. I don't like wading out into the unknown. I dread thinking about what may happen when the lights go out or when the worst happens. Well, I confess that at 35, I don't like the dark much better than I did when I was a kid. Everything seems different in the dark. Things that seem friendly in the light seem a bit menacing in the dark. And it's easy to let your imagination run wild in the dark. It's easy to hear noises and to think the worst. And the light feels so much more comforting. And yet, there are things that we learn in the dark that we never could have learned in the light. To put it differently, there are things we learn in the desert of our faith that we could never learn on the mountaintop. Now, we all want to stay on the mountaintop, the place where we feel closest to God. And yet, it is in the wilderness where we tend to learn the most. It is in the dark of our lives when we face our fears and discover that, as Brené Brown puts it, the dark does not destroy the light, it defines it. So in a year when the darkness of fear and worry and anxiety and disease is all around us, the darkness has not destroyed the light. It has changed us, but it has not destroyed our hope in God or our faith. Instead, it has defined the light for us. It has made clearer our need for the hope of God. What have we learned in the dark this year? How has God used the darkness to change us? And how can we find hope in a new year? Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 through 21, our scripture passage for the sermon, tells us this. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Isaiah reminds the people that God made a way when there was no way, when he parted the Red Sea so that they could walk across dry land, and when he stopped the Egyptian army from attacking. The Lord had an important message for his people, and it is the same message that he has for us today. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The Lord is doing a new thing. Barbara Brown Taylor says that step one of learning to walk in the dark or the unknown is to give up running the show. Next, you sign the waiver that allows you to bump into some things that may frighten you at first. And finally, you ask the darkness, the unknown, to teach you what you need to know. When the Lord does something new, it always means that we must step into the unknown. And when we want to be a part of what God is doing, it means that we must give up running the show. Well, perhaps the biggest thing that this pandemic has done in our lives is to shatter the illusion that we are in control. Now, you all know that I'm a planner. I love to plan things. And I carry around a spiral-bound calendar in which I write down everything that I have planned. and I created the 2020 calendar for the Children and Families Ministry back in August of 2019, sent it out to everybody, and I wrote it down in ink in my calendar. And I've had to strike through almost every single one of those things that I wrote down in ink and come up with a new plan. The year 2020 has been the year of the plan B, and plan C, and plan D. Most of us haven't gotten to do many of the things we wanted to do this year. That cruise you were planning in the summer? Canceled. That anniversary trip? Canceled, postponed, or dramatically changed. That vacation that involved flying? Canceled. Soccer games and baseball games and everything else? Canceled, postponed, or dramatically different. Any illusion that we are in control of our lives has been shattered. We all, from the youngest of us to the oldest of us, have had to learn to be more flexible. And for some of us, being flexible hasn't been a problem. But for others, like me, it has been tough. So one of the ways that the unknowns of this year, the darkness, has changed me has been that I have become more flexible, and I have done this kicking and screaming. In fact, a few weeks ago, when Jonathan mentioned that I needed to adapt to something, I actually said that I am tired of being flexible and I'm tired of having to adapt. All right, is anybody else with me with that? I think we're all tired of that, right? Well, when I think of the new thing that God is doing, when I think of the ways that God has used and will use this pandemic to do good things, to change us, to do new things, one of those changes I find in my own life is flexibility. It is an understatement to say that I have never been the most flexible person. I have loved plans my whole life. As a kid, I needed a plan. I needed to know what to expect. I was always the one asking what we were going to do and then what we were going to do after that. Even on vacation, I was the one saying, what are we going to do after this? When are we going to do this? We're not going to forget this, are we? And at one point, my mother threatened to throw my watch in the ocean after I tried to make us stick to the plan when we were on vacation. So you can see how hard flexibility can be for me. As an adult, I've gotten a bit better, but if I'm honest, I don't really like being flexible. And pre-2020, I didn't have to be all that flexible with my plans. But then, of course, everything changed. And I've watched myself evolve into someone who automatically starts thinking about plan B, even as they're planning plan A. I've watched my prayers change from, please don't let it rain on Fall Festival, to help us to find ways to make it work, no matter what happens. Well, perhaps God has used 2020 to teach you to be more flexible too. Perhaps you too, as you waded into the unknown, have been forced to give up believing that you run the show. Here's what happens when we give up running the show. We let God transform us. Over and over again, when people in the Bible gave up running the show, God transformed them. When Abraham stopped trying to make God's promise happen, God blessed Abraham and Sarah with Isaac. When Moses stopped making excuses about why he couldn't lead the people, God transformed him into the leader the people needed. When the Israelites finally got out of their own way, God led them to the promised land. When Nicodemus opened his mind to what Jesus was telling him, he finally began to understand. When Paul allowed God blinding him to transform him, he became on fire for God. When the people of the Bible trusted in God and believed that God's promises were true, God made a way where there was no way. God changed them, and every single time came through with his promises. He showed them every time that he could be trusted. God showed them that when they allowed him to run the show, he knew what was best. And God shows us that too. Change happens in the dark. It happens in the depths of our souls as God renews us. Babies change and grow in the dark of the womb. Trees and flowers live and grow and change in the dark womb of the earth before sprouting out into the light. Much of the change and growth that we experience happens in the dark, in the unknown, in the places where we feel uncomfortable and alone. And while we are there, we have a choice. We can open ourselves up to that change, surrendering control and trusting that God is doing something, or we can refuse to change and let the unknown make us bitter and resentful. In this year of the unknown, it has been difficult to see what God is doing. We have had to trust that God was there, even when we couldn't always feel his presence. But God hasn't forgotten us. God has been there in the darkness with us, helping us to trust in him and to continue to have hope. Earlier in our service, we read Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Hear those words again. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. In times when we have felt as if we cannot keep going, the Lord has been there. He has not grown tired and weary, and he has kept us going. How has the Lord given you strength during this time? How has God been changing you? When in Isaiah 43, God tells the people that he is doing a new thing. He tells them to forget the former things and to stop dwelling in the past. And on the surface, that sounds great, because after all, who doesn't want to forget the things they've done wrong, to stop dwelling on past mistakes and past hurts, and to look forward to the future? But what about the good things? What about the things that God has done in the past? Are we supposed to forget those too? After all, remembering those things reminds us that God will continue to work in our lives. Remembering the things that God has already done helps us trust that God will continue to care for us and that God will help us make it through. If we're supposed to forget those things too, how can we trust that God will continue to work in our lives? Well, as one religious scholar tells us, that sentence is not a criticism of the former things that God has done or a hint that the former things don't connect with what God will do. But instead, this sentence emphasizes the radical newness of what God is up to. Isaiah also prophesied that a child would be born, that God's servant would suffer, and that Israel would be restored. God wanted the people to pay attention. He was going to do a new thing, and it was something that was totally different than anything he had done before. And we know now that one of the new things that God was doing had to do with Jesus. God was coming to earth as an infant, to teach us how to live, to show us what to do, to sacrifice himself for us, and to defeat sin and death, rising again to prove once and for all that his love is greater than even death. The new thing that God was doing would change the world. Isaiah was written thousands of years ago. But even though it was written so long ago, God is still doing a new thing. God is using this time, this pandemic, to do something brand new. And what God is doing just might change the world. I believe that this pandemic has changed us, our faith, our relationships, and our world. None of these things are the way they were when we began this year. And yet, the hope of a new year is actually that none of these things are the same. The hope of a new year is that God is doing a new thing. God is in the midst of changing us, painful though those changes may be. He is molding us and shaping us into something new. Our faith is changing as well. No longer does our faith rely more on what we can do than on what God can do. Instead, we have been forced to give up running the show, and we are learning to walk in the dark by faith, trusting that God will show us the way. God is also changing our relationships. No longer will we take a hug or a handshake for granted. One of the things that I have missed the most this year has been standing at that door as you all exited the church. I have missed the hugs and the handshakes and the conversations. I've missed the feeling of love and community. But you know, that feeling of love and community is still here. It looks different right now, but it is still here. I miss being able to welcome others into my home and even getting out in the chaos of holiday shopping. Never did I ever think I would say that I would miss the chaos of holiday shopping. Of course, there was chaos in the driveway when the Amazon people met the FedEx people, met the UPS people, but although we have been unable to do some of the things that we are used to, in some ways, our relationships have been strengthened during this time. How is your family closer than they were before March? Have you spent more time talking through Zoom, FaceTime, on the phone, texting to friends and loved ones than you had before March? How have your relationships changed? How might God be doing something new in them? This year has shown us how precious our relationships are. It has reminded us of some of the really important things in our lives. We have been forced to slow down and see that when life is stripped of all the extras, we can still find ways to have the really important things. God is busy doing something new. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. As we close out 2020, I hope that you will take time to see the changes that God is doing in your life. I hope you will look closely at what God has been up to and what God is doing. And as we move to 2021 and the hope that comes with a new year, I hope you will be excited to see the new things that God has for us in 2021. We begin this new year with hope. Hope that we will all be able to take the vaccine and eventually take these masks off. Hope that we will be able to be closer to others and be out and about more. Hope that things will be a bit more normal. But the biggest hope we have is the hope we have in God. God is doing a new thing. May we be open and willing to be part of it. Let us pray. Loving God, we are grateful for your presence in the unknown. We know that being in the unknown makes us uncomfortable and afraid. And we are so thankful that you promise to never leave us. Open our eyes to the new things you are doing in ourselves, in our faith, in our relationships, and in our world. Give us the strength and courage to brave the unknown and to be part of the changes you are making. Guide us, O Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.